760 WJR. We are live from the Detroit Policy Conference here at Hudson's Detroit with two of the finest gentlemen we have in Southeast Lower Michigan. Heck, even in the state of Michigan. Glenn Stevens, the Executive Director of Mich Auto, and Sandy Barua, the President and CEO of the Detroit Regional Chamber. Gentlemen, thanks so much. I want to remind everybody as well, if you're listening on 760 WJR, we are live on YouTube, again, streaming down here from the Hudson's Detroit. So we invite you to check out WJR 760 on YouTube. Subscribe and watch us anytime you want. Gentlemen, how are you? Thanks for the time.
We're in good spirits today, Ryan. It's a good day.
This is an exciting day for not only the city of Detroit, but the region as a whole. Glenn, talk to me about the partnership that you two have together, Mich Auto and the Detroit Regional Chamber. Pretty in sync here.
Yeah, very briefly, in 2012, the Chamber gave Mich Auto a home. It was a nonprofit fledgling in Detroit, and the Chamber gave it a home, and here we are, you know, in 2026. We're both a strategic partnership and initiative of the Detroit Regional Chamber and a statewide auto association. We exist because the Chamber gave it wings to succeed.
Sandy, what does a day like this mean to the region, to get everybody together in this region in one spot, communicating with each other and working towards the future? What does that mean?
Well, it is such a great opportunity to hear from business leaders. I mean, we heard from people like Casey Crane and Duncan Allred from General Motors, from Joy Harris, from Jared Fleischer. We also heard from our political leaders, you know, the three county executives all have stage time. And it's an opportunity for the collaboration that is so important to our region. I mean, what has happened in Detroit and in the region would not have happened if we didn't have this deep collaboration between the public sector, the business sector, philanthropy, ..
And that feels like it's a newer phenomenon within the last decade, or maybe even just a little bit beyond the last decade, where everybody seems to be collaborating and working together instead of against each other.
Well, I think we saw that coming out of the bankruptcy, and we've had great leaders move companies here back when the Illiches first did and CompuWare, and that's been extended with Dan Gilbert. And today, you know, through the mayor's leadership and now Mayor Sheffield, we are working together because we have a better chance for success by doing that.
Glenn, let me ask you your role in Mich Auto. There are so many things that feel uncertain now. We talk about the USMCA and all of that. There's no deal right now. What kind of challenges are happening for our industries here, specifically with the autos, because of that trade deal, a lack of a deal, I should say, on that?
So it's that trade deal, and since we're here in GM headquarters, put it in their context, so it's trade. It's also all the changes to fuel economy. It's the talent changes. It's the tax changes with the big, beautiful bill. A lot of things have stacked up to where, and Bill Ford said it a couple of weeks ago, our lead times are a lot longer than political lead times. So that back and forth is hard for companies to navigate, but they're very resilient, and they're doing it.
You know, the uncertainty, too. I mean, everything could change back in 2 years or 4 years. And at that point, how do these car companies, not only survive, but pivot?
Well, they pivot depending on what the federal government does, but, and this is something that we're very focused on, what we can do in the state. Mm-hmm. There are things we can do in the state, and Sandy can comment on that, about what we do from education, from an infrastructure, from this and that, from a policy standpoint. And, of course, you know it's a pivotal election year.
No doubt about it. Sandy, talk to me about talent and where our industries are here in Detroit and in the region. Just about, you know, open jobs, a skill set for jobs. Where is the talent pool? How is that here in the region?
So we have some of the best higher ed institutions in the country. We also have, through some great policy work led by the Chamber and Business Leaders for Michigan and others, we have essentially in Michigan, your first 2 years of college are essentially free. Mm. So we've done a lot of good things, but we have a lot of big challenges. So first of all, our K-12 public education system in the state is really shallow. We are not getting the outcomes we deserve. We are not matriculating enough students into some sort of post-secondary, either a skilled credential, a two-year community college degree, or a four-year university degree. And companies like GM, we're in their headquarters right now, they can only stay in Michigan. They can only thrive and grow in Michigan if they have the access to talent. If we can't provide the talent here in Michigan, they'll go where the talent is.
How big of an issue is that, do you believe, leading up to November in 2026? Because you talk about the lead time on that. How long does that take to get K through 12 up to snuff? And is anything being done about that that the businesses are recognizing?
So there is a great example in the state of Mississippi and Maryland. Mm. So two other M states.
Yeah.
One's a blue state, one's a red state. But in Mississippi, for example, they brought up their fourth grade reading scores from like 44th or 45th to 11th in just 8 years.
Yeah.
So in less than a decade, they made fundamental change. So it is possible. We just need the will to do it because we are now at the bottom. You know, we used to be a top 20 state for per capita income. We used to be a top 20 state for education. Now we're at the bottom. We're literally in the bottom 10.
What about, you know, this talent? If it feels like it is, you talk to anybody that owns a business, and it feels like talent and hiring is their number one issue. Would you say that's accurate?
It is, and it depends on the type of talent. So we need more digital and tech skills. I don't care what job it is. If you are a plumber, you are an electrician, you're working on factory automation, all the way to the connected vehicle and the software cloud, more and more things are moving from a digital tech talent standpoint, and we have to prepare that. And that is a mandate, that is a necessity for us, our state, to grow, whether it's GM or a small manufacturer in the UP. They need that.
Innovation is a big theme here today. Are people moving at the pace of the innovation, the tech space? Can people catch up to where tech is going and what businesses need?
Well, I'll just give you a little example. I travel a good deal, a lot to the East Coast and a lot to the West Coast where I grew up. And I tell you, the deepness of the conversations around technology, AI in particular, are so much more advanced there. I mean, you know, we're doing, you know, sessions on AI, mm-hmm. and other places, you know, AI is just in the water. You know, they're not doing sessions on AI. Every session they have about education or some sort of business issue, AI is woven through that whole conversation.
I wanted to ask you in our time remaining, Sandy, what about data centers, data. It feels like such a hot button topic right now. Everybody feels like we need them. Nobody seems like they want them in their area. But what is the conversation? What should the conversation be around all these data centers?
Data centers are absolutely essential, critical infrastructure for the 21st century economy. Think of it as the railroads that we built in the 1800s. Imagine if we decided, oh, we didn't want any railroads in the 1800s in Michigan, right? So, oh yeah, they'll take up too much space, or you know, the locomotive will drive by, right? But that was critical infrastructure that fueled Michigan's economy, the global economy for that matter. Data centers are absolutely necessary for that because they will attract, it's not the jobs in the data center. That's not the argument or the case to make. It's the type of businesses that will come to Michigan because we have those data centers, because they need to be co-located with them.
Do you feel like the conversation just got away from you know, what it should be? From what it is, and is it a PR loss right now, essentially?
Yeah, I think certainly part of it is, but you know, some of the data centers that have been built across the country, you know, have had flaws, and so you know, we, the royal we, needed to do a much better job communicating with the residents and explaining, okay, this is how this is going to be different. Yes, it's going to be a very large data center, but you know. You know, we can. The water's not going to be an issue. The consumers aren't going to pay for the electricity. You know, so
yeah.
there's ways around it.
Lots more on that conversation. Sandy Barua, Glenn Stevens, thank you both so much for being here. I know you guys are busy today, and can't thank you enough for your time here and letting us set up shop and enjoy some conversation here at the Detroit Policy Conference. We're going to take a break. Come right back. When we do, we'll be joined by Oakland County Executive David Coulter. We'll do that. We are live on 760 WJR and, of course, live on YouTube as well. 760 WJR.